Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
Our Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for all that you've done for us. And we ask now, Father, your anointing upon the word as it goes forth today. Father, that something said that will touch a heart today will bring about a change in their life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The title of today's message, and I don't normally just give the title, but the title of today's message is Life Happens. I want you to think about that a moment. Life happens. Because there are many people, as they go about their daily life, their daily walk, they're wondering, why in the world am I going through this? Why is this happening to me? Well, life happens. The book of Job probably gives one of the best examples of life happening than any other book in the Bible. Makes up 42 chapters of the Old Testament. We're not quite sure what time period Job lived in, but we believe it was prior to the time of Moses, and the book of Job was probably actually the first book that was written that's in the Bible. It was written before Genesis was written. Job gives us really quite a testimony there of his life. Job chapter 1 verse 1 tells us this: there was a man in the country of Uz named Job. He was a man of perfect integrity who feared God and turned away from evil. Now I know the King James Bible says eschewed evil, and that's a word we don't use anymore. But he turned away from evil. He shunned it. Stayed away from it. And you know the strange thing today, there are a lot of people that like to dabble with evil. Just see how far they can push something before it really goes bad on them. Well, it goes on in verse 3 and tells us a little bit about him. It says his estate was included 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large number of servants. Job was the greatest man among all the people of the East. So a very wealthy man. I'm not quite sure who you would compare him to today as for his wealth, if you were to do a comparison. But very wealthy man. And living life quite well, it seems like. But then in chapter 1, verse 6, it says, one day the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. And in verse 7, the Lord asked Satan, where have you come from? And Satan replies here, from roaming through the earth, Satan answered him, and walking around on it. And you know what? That's something he still does today. Now I want to make sure that you know that Satan's not omnipresent. He's not omniscient like God is. But he still walks around today. And what he's not checking on, he's got some of his demons checking on. So he's been walking around on it. And the Lord said to Satan in verse 8, have you considered my servant Job? No one else on earth is like him. A man of perfect integrity, who fears God and turns away from evil. Look around today. Could God speak those words to Satan about our lives, about your life? Makes you want to think a little bit, doesn't it? Could God brag on you to Satan? God is telling Satan what a good job Job has done. And as you continue to read on in the chapter, you find out Satan says, well, yes, God, you have a hedge around him. And some translations say a wall of protection. But if you just take that down and let me have my chance at him, I'll make him curse you. I'll make him turn against you. I'll make him do evil. And God allows it. Life happens, and sometimes life happens, and it only happens because God allows it. And there are other times that we get ourselves into problems that we just, by our own foolishness, and sometimes the word stupidity is more fitting, we get ourselves into. As it goes on in chapter 1, we find out that Job loses everything. He loses his property, or as we would say today, he lost all of his assets. And that's not bad enough. He loses his children. They were all having a banquet, having a good time. And a storm came, wiped them out. And in verse 21, Job says these words, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will leave this life. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Praise the name of Yahweh." Or as many translations say, praise the name of the Lord. If something bad happens to us, could we say, praise the name of the Lord? A lot of us would probably cry out, God, why have you done this to me? But Job just said, praise the name of the Lord. Well, as we go on in chapter 2, we find that's not enough to break Job. Satan appears once again before God, said, hey, you need to let me do a little bit more to him. That wasn't enough. And in verse 6 of chapter 2, we read very well, the Lord told Satan, he's in your power, only spare his life. In other words, do whatever you want to do, just don't kill him. And now Job finds himself physically afflicted. He's got boils, he's got other problems. It tells us that he even regrets the day that he was born. In fact, in Job chapter 3, verse 11, he says, why died I not in the birth? Or why died I not when I came out of the womb? In other words, why did I even live? Why did I even have this life? Couldn't it have all just ended there? And sometimes I think, many times, or possibly many times, especially with Christians, when a child is stillborn, or a child dies in the womb, maybe that's God's way of saving that child. Who knows? It doesn't ease our physical pain any less. But we can, as Christians, take hope and knowledge that that child is now in the presence of God, and as Christians, someday, we'll be united with that child. I know I have a grandchild that was miscarried. I don't know if it's a boy or a girl, but I look forward to the day that someday I'll get to meet that child face to face. Even Job's wife turned on him and said in chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. And she may have said it kind of hateful, I don't know. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Life happens. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. As you continue to read through the 42 chapters of the book of Job, you find his friends came. They sat with him for a while. Then they begin to say to him, Job, what did you do to deserve all of this? What did you do wrong? Have you ever had anybody say that to you when you were going through a hard spot? What did you do wrong? I had a minor car accident one time, and first thing one of the people in church said to me was, well, what sin did you do to cause this to happen? I didn't do any sin that caused it to happen. It was just an accident. Well, in various times in our life, we all go through various situations. Some things are due to factors that are beyond our control, and sometimes we just get ourselves into the mess that we're in. And as I said earlier, sometimes just because of our own stupidity that we get into that problem. But sometimes God allows things to happen that seem bad at the moment or aggravating to us at the least to protect us and keep us from something worse. A pastor friend of mine just recently was telling about a trip that he had taken. And on his way back home, he had to have a change of planes, catch a connecting flight in one city on the way back to his home. And there was a very short time frame between the arrival and departure for the connecting flight. However, as happens a lot, his originating flight got delayed, and soon enough time had passed that he would miss his other flight. And I'll tell you, I was thinking about that with him, because I remember, quite honestly, one of the last times I flew, our flight got delayed and I missed my connecting flight, and it was one problem after another. Well, anyway, he's trying to find another way home. He's got to get home. And he can't find another flight. Makes calls, nothing. Finally, there was a pilot standing nearby who came over and asked him, well, where are you headed? And he told him. And the pilot says, don't worry about it. He says, that flight's not going to take off before you get there because I'm the pilot. Well, he didn't quite know if the guy was telling him the truth or not, or just trying to make him feel better. But he stayed close to where the pilot was at. They boarded their flight. They got to where their connecting flight was to happen. They walked to the gate, and he said, I stayed close to that guy. And I wanted to make sure he's who he said he was. And as we walked up to the boarding area, the people at the gate greeted him with, hello, Captain. And he said, I knew then that I was getting home. Well, sometimes God delays us for various reasons. And we don't know what the reason was in that particular case. I would say most likely because knowing the time frame it was probably the weather. But sometimes God puts obstacles in our path or causes us to do something that we weren't planning to do to protect us from something else that's going to happen in life. I know one time my wife and I were traveling from the West Coast to the Midwest, a route that we hadn't taken in many years. And there were some cars that were racing past us and, you know, extremely exceeding the speed limit. And I just didn't want to be around them anymore. I thought, shoot, I'm just going to get off at the next exit and we'll stop and get something to eat. We stopped and spent probably roughly an hour getting something to eat. Drove through the town, got back on the interstate at the other end of town. And as we're getting back onto the interstate, we notice there's been a horrific accident. Most likely fatalities involved. And I told my wife, had we not gotten off, it's possible that we could have been in that accident. That we could have been involved in one way or another. And another time, I was in line at a fast food place, waiting to buy my lunch. I was in a hurry. I needed to get back on the road. And as there was a little lady with her two grandkids that was in line ahead of me, and they waited until they got up to the counter to try to decide what they were going to order. Well, do we want this or do we want that? Do you want this? Do you want that? Back and forth, back and forth. And I'm really sitting there just kind of gritting my teeth a little bit because I'm in a hurry and you are delaying me. Well, finally, I got my order. I scarfed it down as fast as I could, got back in my vehicle, got back on the interstate, and found out an accident had happened just shortly after I got off. And I've often wondered, was that God's way of keeping me out of that accident? So now I try to thank God for some of the delays that happen in my life, because it could be God protecting me for something that's worse. You know, we can in no way always understand all the things that happen in life, especially the bad things. Yes, some things we contribute to, but in other things God has a plan. And as you read through the book of Job, when you get to the last chapter, you find out God had a plan as well. He had faith in God. He had faith in Job. He had confidence in Job. And when it was all done with, we're told that Job had double what he had before. He was blessed with more in the end than he had in the beginning. And if you're a Christian, you will go through life and things are going to happen in your life that may be trying, that may be hard to go through. You maybe have friends that will turn against you. And I know that experience. I have friends, people that I knew that I thought were my friends, that I did my best to help. And then when they didn't need my help anymore, they turned their back on me. And that may happen. But you've got to put it aside and say, it doesn't matter, I'm going on. I'm standing true for God. God's got something better for me. You may even get to the point that you're like Job and want to die or even question, why was I born? And I know there are a lot of people, especially people who are not Christians, and even a lot of Christians, especially as certain things are happening in their life. God, I just want to die. As I've mentioned before, and some who are listening probably remember, several years ago I had heart surgery, and as a result of complications and other things that happened, the doctor was surprised actually that I lived. And but during all of this, as it's going on, I got the bill from the hospital for the heart surgery, and since I was in two different hospitals, a lot involved there, the bill was going to be tremendous. I looked at the bill and I thought to myself, God, just let me die. I can't afford this hospital bill. I just can't afford it. My family can't afford it. It will take everything we've got and then some to pay this bill. I wanted to die. I thought it was the easy way out for my family. Well, I'll have to say I got over that pretty quick. But, and the good news is, the time it was all over and done with, of being in the hospital four times during this period of time, all that I went through, I ended up paying less than $1,000 that year in medical bills. God provided, God stepped in. Yeah, I wanted to die because I thought it was the only way my family would be able to survive. But God had a better plan. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. He says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute, because this was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by a man who was, and I want to read this from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 27. Five times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced dangers from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers, but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty, and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. But he's writing to the Romans, all things work together for good to them that love God. It's going to work together for you if you love God. It's going to come out to your benefit. It's going to better you in the end. So what are some of the things that we go through now happen? Why do they happen? Well, really only God knows why some of these things happen. But again, as Paul wrote, all things work together for our good. All things work together for our good. And Christian, I want you to think about it right now. And I'm sure there are some that are listening to me that are going through hardships, that are going through trials, that are going through testing. Hang in there. Stay true to God. Keep firm in His Word. And it'll all work together for your good. And I know someone might say, well, hey, I know so-and-so, and they went through this trial, and it was terrible, and they died. But if they were a Christian, it still worked together for their good because they're now in the presence of God. And that's a whole lot better than being here in the presence of men. Things are happening in the world today, especially to Christians. We're probably seeing the most Christian persecution that we have seen since the days of the Roman Empire, prior to 300 and something AD, when Christians were persecuted everywhere. Christians are being persecuted today, and as we read about it and hear on the news in various countries around the world, Christians are being persecuted for their faith. Some places beheaded, and some places kept in jail, many times for years without any civil recourse. We think about that in other countries, but here in America even, we're starting to see things like this happen. Christians being taunted for their faith, that's not new, but persecuted now for their faith. Not allowed to hold certain positions because of their faith. Last month, a Christian pastor who had fled Iran as a religious refugee was arrested here in the United States for sharing his faith, his testimony, in the Mall of America in Bloomington, Minnesota. I want you to think about that for a minute. That's here in America. He fled persecution in Iran and in Turkey, only to find persecution in the land of the free and the home of the brave. If you are able to read the entire story, you find out that he was just shopping, and a couple of Muslim ladies come up and ask if he was a Muslim, and he told them no, that he was a Christian, and they ask him a question about his Christian faith, and he shared with them, and a passerby overheard and reported him to security. Even though the two ladies he was talking to said he did nothing wrong, they asked him a question. he was answering. He was arrested, held for hours at the mall security. That's happening in America, folks. Why is this allowed to happen? Why is it going on? Well, the Bible plainly talks about it. And I know that it tells us in the last days that we'll be enduring some of these things. And this is only a slight sample of what it's going to be like during the tribulation period for those who miss the rapture and become Christians during the tribulation. But in John chapter 15, verse 18, it says, if the world hates you, understand that it hated me before it hated you. It's not you that the world hates. It's Jesus in you that the world hates. Luke chapter 21, verse 17 says, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Tell people you're a Christian today in some places, and you'll be run out of Dodge, so to speak. Tell people that you're a Christian and run for political office in some places, and you won't get a vote. Life happens. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45 says, that ye may be the children of your Father that is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. In other words, we all have good and bad happen. Because you're a Christian doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect, that it's going to be roses, that everything's going to go your way. But listen, we all have good happen, we all have bad happen. But in Mark 13:13 it says, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. We read that in two other verses here, basically the same thing, but listen to what it says here. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. Hang in there. Hold on. Just like Job, he hung in there. He lost everything. All he had left was maybe the house he was living in and his wife, who had basically turned against him and told him to curse God and die. His friends had turned against him. They weren't giving him comfort. They were criticizing him. So, Christian, my word to you today is endure. Endure. It's going to get better. It's going to get better one of these days. Jesus is going to call you home, either by the way of the grave or by the way of the rapture. And then we'll have no more of this. Christian, endure. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3 says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there may ye be also. He's got a place prepared for you, Christian. Endure. Endure. And if you're not a Christian, well, all I've got to say is some of these things are only a sampling of what it's going to be. So if you're not a Christian, my advice to you today, my word to you today, is accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Invite Him into your heart and life. And it's so easy to do. Just with all your heart, say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. But I know now that you died for my sins, that your shed blood will cover them, and that I will have a home in heaven with you for all eternity. Jesus, come into my heart right now, I pray. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated.